I titled my message this week called The Succession. You know, we have successions in our life. We pass things down. We've had people that has been part of this Bethel United Methodist Church since 1834 and has passed down and passed down. And we are now the recipients of that succession. Well, our gospel lesson this week is out of Matthew chapter 11. I think the lectionary says 2 through 11, but I like to start at the beginning of the chapter. So I'll start at chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. Hear God's word. This is when Jesus and John the Baptist have come together. When Jesus had finished giving these instructions to his 12 disciples, he went off teaching and preaching in the towns throughout the country. John the Baptist, who was now in prison, heard all about the things the Messiah was doing. So he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you really the Messiah we've been waiting for, or should we keep on looking for somebody else?" Red Letter Edition through verse 11. "Go back and tell John about him, what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. Then tell him, God blesses those who are not offended by me." Well, when John's disciples had gone, Jesus began talking about him to the crowds. "Who is this man in the wilderness that you went out to see? Did you find him weak as a reed, moved by every breath of wind? Or were you expecting to see a man dressed in expensive clothes? Those who dress like that live in palaces, not in the wilderness. Were you looking for a prophet? Yes, he is more than a prophet. John is the man to whom the scriptures refer to when they say, 'Look, I am sending my messenger before you, and he will prepare your way.'" Wow, that is a powerful message. Amen. And then Jesus closes it up in verse 11. "I assure you, all who have ever lived, none is more greater than John the Baptist. Yet even the most insignificant person in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he is." May God add his blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his holy and precious word. Well, the successful show. There's a lot of successful shows. Some of those I watch and some of them I don't. But especially the ones that are like on HBO. I don't pay much attention to HBO, but I hear about these shows. And there's a widely successful show that they talk about on HBO. It's called Succession, and it's a satire of wealthy media empire people whose patriotic moguls are aging. Those vying to succeed them in the business often varied and conflicting ideas about how the company should be run. But their tempestuous leader has no current intention of passing the baton. He's going to stay in charge for a long time. That's what he's thinking. Well, the dark comedy portrays the power, the wealth, and the often underhanded politics of one of America's elite media monopolies. Well, if the television version of Succession portrays the worst of human nature, then the situation in our gospel story that I just read, told by Matthew, shows us the best. You know, an alternative kind of culture in which respectful succession is part of the counterculture kingdom image that Jesus was about to depict. The scriptural story of Advent begins with John the Baptist, who emerges from the wilderness, where presumably he'd been raised, educated, trained in an aesthetic tradition similar to that of the Essenes. His message was a prophetic voice of repentance and turning back towards God, humbly and rationally. His vehicle is a baptism with water, a kind of a cleansing or a renewing of the spirit in preparation for his messianic appearance. After Jesus is baptized by John, he is driven into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, where he is tempted, tested, and prepared to undertake a 3-year mission of salvation. When Jesus emerges, he begins to assemble disciples, baptize, and teach, initially echoing John's call for repentance. And soon after, John's arrested by Herod. And while Jesus moves to Capernaum and begins expanding his mission with miracles and healing and proclamations, slowly revealing his true identity as the long-awaited Messiah. Several of John's disciples begin to follow Jesus, and others remain loyal to John. As John, they tentatively question the way Jesus is pursuing the messianic mission. John is an apocalyptic prophet. He's a messenger delivering a message. He doesn't know exactly what to expect in the coming Messiah, God's means of redemption, or the outcome. But as a man of his time and training, he has his assumptions. And like Jesus' disciples, he appears at times to question Jesus' method. Well, he doesn't quite understand Jesus' definition of Messiah and his unique method of leading humanity towards redemption. To John and to everybody else, Jesus will be a surprise, an ad conundrum of a man who seems to go against the grain and every expectation of anyone who has of him. So John, now trapped within the prison walls, can no longer lead his disciples, so his message had been delivered. His part of the mission had been complete. The Messiah in the personhood of Jesus Christ had appeared and had begun to carry out his mission. As he passed the baton, the missional baton, well, he's hoped, but he can't really be sure. So when John sends word through his own disciples questioning Jesus, wanting to be sure that he had proclaimed it blessed the right candidate, that's a good thing. Jesus sends back word through the messianic prophet scripture in the book of Isaiah. The same one that he will declare as his missional statement in the synagogue in Nazareth. That's the same one quoted by Elizabeth, Hannah, and Mary before him. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. But Jesus doesn't merely answer with scripture. He goes on and tells John's disciple, hey, go and tell John what you hear and see. God's mission has not merely rested upon Jesus in the proclamation. He already began enacting the messianic mission. He's healing, he's cleansing, he's raising people from the dead. He's bringing the good news of the jubilee of salvation to all of God's people. And he makes sure John's disciples see it, hear it, and know it personally, firsthand. And then almost humorously, in a sense, Jesus adds, and blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me, including John. Insurance to ensure John's continued blessing and favor among his own disciples, those he will need to support him and continue in his mission. Now, Jesus knows that the passing of succession from messenger to Messiah is vital. He knows how important it is for everyone to recognize him as the receiver of the sacred scepter. He needs the continued support of John and John's supporter in order to solidify himself as the one that John pointed to as the Messiah and Savior. He must be recognized as the rightful heir of the messianic crown. Jesus, then, a hugely savvy mood. What's he do? He begins to praise John. What a better way to ensure his role as successor than to lift up the messenger and the proclaimer. John had been usually well respected, and now Jesus joins in and lauds his ministry, praises John for his outstanding ministry and being a prophet, and more importantly, being a holy man. He also declared John as the one about whom it is written, see, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. Then he says these seemingly cryptic words. Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Wow, that puts us in a pretty good category, doesn't it? I don't play chess, but I always wondered about the chess strategy. Jesus declared John the most amazing human being who ever lived. His message and character is flawless and is to be trusted. Through this, Jesus defines himself clearly as John's missional successor. Well, in chess, they say, checkmate. Jesus initiates the messianic prophecy. Everyone who becomes part of the kingdom of God through following Jesus will receive such an amazing gift that it will eclipse anything that John had accomplished. Now, that's quite a succession of speech, isn't it? You know, passing the baton, the successor receives and is proclaimed. What a speech! Jesus both compares himself and individually himself from John, even as he claims his rightful messianic lineage. Later, Jesus will declare Isaiah's prophecy fulfilled in the synagogue in Nazareth, a speech that nearly got him killed. But God will do in God's time what God has planned, and Jesus' mission will be fulfilled in 3 years' time. So the power of Jesus' inaugural message propels Jesus into a mission that will begin in Capernaum, the cultural hub of the Galilee for Gentiles, and then end in Jerusalem, the center of the Jewish faith. Upon Jesus' death, he then passes the baton. To who? None else than Peter, the rock upon which the way of Jesus would be founded. From that time on, every disciple would be part of this growing movement. You know, we too have a succession to follow. Each generation of Christians, those following the way of the Messiah and Christ, are baptized by the Holy Spirit in fire, as we mentioned last week, and a mission to pass on Jesus' message of salvation to every person of their generation and to our generation, to ensure that that mission and message does not die from one generation to the next. My prayer is that you are and are a part of that succession. Well, I hope and pray that you're doing well. And, you know, we are here at Bethel part of that succession that people started way back when in 1834. I always mention that. I am just fascinated that this little church founded down by the Bethel Pond in a Brush Arbor meeting continues to this day. I am so honored to be a part of that succession. Succession of some great preachers and teachers, succession of a lot of wonderful people. Well, I hope and pray you're preparing your heart for the Christmas season as we celebrate the birth of Christ, and also stay watch for his return. Have a wonderful day.